salutare și bine v-am regăsit la un nou episod al podcastului Dinți, Canale și Cafele. Sper că mă ascultați cu toții din autoizolare, întrucât autoizolarea este singura modalitate prin care putem lupta cu această pandemie, care, iată, a ajuns și pe teritoriul României. Stați acasă pentru a ajuta autoritățile să se lupte cu problema, dar mai ales stați acasă pentru a limita apariția unor cazuri noi. Mi-ar plăcea să discutăm astăzi despre implicațiile pe care acest nou virus le aduce în viața noastră. Întrucât, iată, pandemia de coronavirus nu atrage după sine doar probleme medicale, ci ne influențează atât din punct de vedere economic, cât și social, dar mai ales profesional. Dar aș vrea ca astăzi să ascultați părerea unui bun coleg și unui bun prieten de-al meu, doctorul Francesco Piras din Florența, Italia, care ne va povesti despre cum anume a fost gestionată situația coronavirusului la el în țară, ce anume nu a funcționat la ei și mai ales ne va oferi și câteva sfaturi despre ce am putea face noi aici, astfel încât să prevenim un dezastru epidemiologic. Vă doresc audiție plăcută și ne auzim la final.
So, hello everyone. It's a real pleasure to be able to talk with my good friend Francesco Piras from Italy, from Florence, which I'm very happy that he's in good health and he has no major issues, just a small cough, which hopefully won't develop into something else. I'm really hoping that, Francesco, you and your family will stay healthy for the next period and you won't have any medical issues whatsoever. So again, thank you one more time for agreeing to do this small interview with me, which I believe will be of great value to all the dentists here in Romania who maybe have some concerns that you already gone through, so you can offer some personal valuable advice. So welcome.
Thank you very much, Bogdan. It's a pleasure for me to speak with you and also to speak to all the colleagues that are in Romania, if I can say something that can be useful for you. So it's a pleasure for me to stay here. Thank you very much for the invitation.
So Francesco, just to put things a little bit into perspective, if we look now on the worldometer scale, we see that in Italy you have like more than 20,000 cases. I think, yeah, now it's 21,000 cases. And we here in Romania have 123 according to worldometer, but surely more will follow. Now, let's say that in Italy, maybe 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, the situation was quite the same. From your perspective, what was the main reason for this very rapid escalation and very high increase in patients' numbers? Do you think it has something to do with maybe underestimating the problem, or it's unavoidable,
well,
let's say?
I don't know. I don't really know this because we have seen that the increasing of people affected by this problem is very, very high, so I can't explain it. But if you ask me the same question 3 weeks ago and you tell me, what do you think about this problem? I would say, well, I don't think that is a very big problem because I was planning to make a trip. So I was I couldn't think that today I am closed in my house and I can go outside. So for me, it's very strange situation. I think that this is a very strange situation also for all the people here in Italy, because it's the first time in my life that I have to stay closed in my house. And but I couldn't expect a situation like this 1 month ago. There were someone telling me, you know, there is this problem, can be because we could be in trouble with this problem. But this for me was not a problem. I thought that it couldn't be a problem. But now I've seen that many people is affected. I'm in touch with many colleagues from the north of Italy, dentists, but also anesthesiologists, and people that is fighting this problem. And I have understood that is a very, very important problem, and we have to consider it. We have not to underestimate it, and we have to tell people to be safe and do only what is necessary in this moment. We have to collaborate, everyone, to eliminate this problem. So if you you know, it's not very easy. I live in a town in the near the center of the town, where always there are very a lot of cars going. Now there is the silence in the street, so it's a very strange situation.
Yeah, things are rapidly changing. But yes. Let's say from the perspective that the population of Italy now has, because here in Romania, the talks that you get between dentists are whether they should continue working or not. And you see two groups forming. So you have the people who have already shut down their offices, so they're not working anymore. They decided to go into self-isolation in order to help the authorities combat this problem. And then you have the other group who says that, oh yeah, it was just 120 cases, there's no need to panic. If we panic now, if we go into self-isolation now, what are we going to do when we're going to have maybe 200,000 cases, or I don't know, 20,000 cases like in Italy and so forth. So from let's say the perspective that you have in Italy, is it rightful to go now into safe isolation, or is it a, let's say, exaggerated measure?
I think, Bogdan, that you are very lucky because you have the example of the situation of Italy, and you can, this is a good advice for you, in my opinion, because you can stop now your activities, and everything that the infection spread a lot and more, and then you can start in a better way, in my opinion, because I think that for us it's very dangerous to stay in the office at this moment, because we can spread. First of all, it's dangerous for us, for the operator. It's dangerous for the people who is working with us, and is dangerous also for people coming to our office, because we know that if they stay in the same waiting room, for example, can be a problem. And also we need a special masks to treat the patients, so it's not very simple, it's very complex, the situation. So I think that the best thing, in my opinion, is to close. But if you asked me this thing 3 weeks ago, I would say, come on, don't joke, this can be, it's impossible. But also from the government, they told us, don't worry, you can work, you only have to wash the hands, put people only 1 meter between every person inside the waiting room. Many, many advertisements that were good, but every day they told us something to restrict the number of people coming to our office, and now they told us, don't work, only urgencies. If you have to, you have to do only urgencies, but don't work. So this is the what the government is saying to doctors in general, but also to dentists. So in my opinion, the best thing at this moment is to stop everything, and then in 2 weeks we can start better than before. But at this moment we have to stop the infection, because this, you know very well, I know that this virus is very virulent, so can spread very fast, and we know that in many situations can be also from the point of view of health can be a very big problem in some situations. So
exactly, especially if you have like elder patients that you might treat, because a lot of us maybe have patients that are in their 60s, so let's say treating them during this period, it's really something hazardous that might not only jeopardize their health, but only jeopardize their life as well. No? So it's definitely something that we need to take into consideration. I totally agree with you. So from my perspective, we should definitely learn from what happened in Italy, and as much as possible, try to maybe, let's say, not repeat the same mistakes again. So for me, self-isolation right now is of the highest importance. But you know, the people that do not advocate for the self-isolation, they're mostly concerned about what will happen from an economic point of view. And I'm pretty sure that you in Italy have these concerns as well, because obviously you have big investments in the offices, especially if you own an office. So I'm just wondering, how are people analyzing this? I mean, is there any plan? Like, the government has said, look, you don't need to pay taxes for the next month, you don't need to pay the banks for the next few months. Is everything, or is anything like this being taken into consideration, or at the moment there's no talk?
Yes. We are working on it, and for example, they postpone some payment. So we have, at this moment, we have to pay a tax, but we don't pay for it. It's postponed, I don't know when, but we don't have to do it. And this is the first measures, but we also can take some help from the state to pay the assistant, for example, who doesn't work. So we have many, many instruments, but it's something that now they are speaking about, but we have no some certain advice about how to do it. So I don't know very well this point, but we think that we will have some help from the state. Yes.
Yeah, this is very important because obviously this is a time of crisis, of emergency. So if you don't want to end up in collapse, the state needs to involve itself. But but on the other hand, what I wanted to ask you about, because this is something again that for me is hard to understand, but maybe you can shed some light. Because truly, I don't understand the people who want to work. Do you have any patients that are willing to come to the dentist right now in such a situation?
Because patient positive, you say.
No,
positive.
If you have like, a, I mean, during this moment of crisis, I don't believe people are really searching for dental treatments.
Ah, okay.
So I don't understand the reason to keep the operator open. I mean, it's just exposing you and all the staff there with no reason. I mean, come on. It's just like you would go into holiday in August. Huh? You go to a holiday in August for 2 weeks. I mean, you come back, you get back to work. It's not that big of a deal. But the problem is, what will happen if it's going to be more than 2 weeks?
I don't know what will happen, but because we don't really know what will happen, because we have only to wait. At this moment, everything is closed. Then we will see what the government want to do. Now we have to wait these 2 weeks. April 3rd, they will say us what we have to do, and we are waiting. So, but in my opinion, if you want that I tell you what's my opinion,
sure.
We have seen the Chinese crisis. We have seen that they had to wait 3 months, 2 months to start their activities in Wuhan region. So 2 months is a lot of time. And we know that 2 weeks is possible to stay without working. 1 month, maybe we could. 2 months is a lot of time. So we don't really know what will happen. But I think that we will need 2 months before to start our life before.
In a normal pace. Yes, of course. But just to put things into perspective. So right now, everything in Italy is closed. That means also like restaurants, cafes, industry. Or you have something that is still open in Italy?
It's open only what can is needed, what is necessary at this moment. So it's open the supermarket where you can buy the food. It's open the pharmacy. It's open the hospital. And I don't think we don't have other things opened.
Okay. So when you go to the supermarket to buy stuff, there's like a queue, you enter one by one,
you have to raise a line.
Okay.
To go inside, but sometimes the line is very long because they let go inside only 10 people per time, so you have to wait a lot outside.
Okay.
And then you go inside, you buy what you need and you go home. But I went to the supermarket 3 days ago. I bought many, many things in order not to go, and that's it. But
okay, so you would advise, let's say, the dentist in Romania, the people, to maybe do some more intensive grocery shopping now while the situation is not so, let's say, it hasn't escalated as much.
Yes, I don't think that you will not find the food, so this is not a big problem. I only did it because I didn't want to go many times to
Because it's a risk. Yeah, if you go into the shopping complex, I mean, it's a risk. You don't know, maybe somebody there is diseased. I mean, you take all your measures, but still it's a risk.
Yes, what I do when I go to the market is to put my mask, that is the FFP3 mask, and then I also put the gloves.
The gloves.
So you also. This is very strange for me because I see in the street many, many people with masks and gloves. It is something that I haven't seen here before in my life.
Okay. So people are, let's say now, people are now really taking the matter very seriously, and they're not joking about it. Yes. Or
very seriously.
Okay. And let's say because there is also a lot of talk, you have a huge pile of fake news spreading out through internet. You have a lot of people, let's say, spreading out misinformation, and the most common, let's say, point that they try to make is that look at this coronavirus. You have only, like, right now you have like 5,800 deaths compared to the normal flu, which you have over 80,000. So there's no real reason to concern. But when I am talking with my friends here who are working in the hospital, and I also have some colleagues who are working in the infections ward, they all tell me the same thing, that it's not the disease that you should be worried about, it's a huge number of cases. Because as we talked previously, and I know from you, you have a lot of persons that might need to get hospitalized. And then, I mean, from what I understand, and I would like you to tell me a bit, and the problem is with the huge number of patients that need treatment in the hospital, and you cannot, you don't have the space to provide for them. Is that correct? Yes.
Exactly. The problem is that many people in a very little amount of time needs to go to the hospital. So this is a very big problem, because we have a number of places in the hospital for normal situations, but with this crisis, we arrived to the hospital a lot of people. So altogether with the same problem. So now in the north of Italy, for example, I am in touch with the doctors working in the north of Italy that are friends, and they told me that they have serious big problems to find a place for all the person that need at the same time a bed in the hospital. And you know that the 10% of people affected need also to be in reanimation bed. So this is another big problem, because the places are few. So now we are trying to create new places, new hospitals. I saw yesterday, for example, in Milan, we are using an hotel to put people inside, because they have a lot of cases all together in the same moment. You know, so this is the most important problem with this pathology.
So yeah,
and yes. And the other problem is that many doctors contracted the virus, had this virus, and had to go to the hospital. So we are losing a lot of people working. So we need also doctors to face this problem, working to face this problem. At this moment, we have many doctors that have the virus and can't go to work, because if not, they would spread the virus to many other people. So this is another problem, you know. It's very complex situation, and what I could say is not to underestimate, because really I think is a problem that can be very difficult to solve if we don't stay at home and we wait these 40 days, and because our doctors really are working very hard to face this problem.
Yeah, and this is I believe that you, as well as we here in Romania, you're also facing issues with provisions, yeah, like gloves and masks and so forth.
Yes, this is another big problem. I can tell you a thing, but that I am in a group of Facebook of doctors working for the COVID infection, and I saw a doctor from Naples, for example, who had to construct a mask because they had not the surgical masks. So he have to wait for the patients in his office, and they have no masks because there are not. But I'm not speaking about the special masks with the filter, but the normal surgical masks.
No, sir. This is going to be a problem for us as well, because even if, let's say, for a miracle, we manage to, let's say, pass through all this crisis in a normal fashion and then start working again in 1 month, we're going to need masks, we're going to need gloves, we're going to need disinfectants. So I believe starting working again will also be difficult, because if we don't take the necessary precautions, we also expose ourselves to the many other diseases that can be out there, not just the coronavirus. So, right. Yeah, I think what you said in the beginning about the 2 months, that might be a much more realistic time to, let's say, get back on track or pick up from where we left off. Otherwise, yes. I don't know. The situation, I believe, has impacted not only the, let's say, the health industry, but you can feel it everywhere. I mean, for Italy, for example, because I have been already coming to Italy for quite some time now. I've been visiting it. It's such a beautiful place. And I can only think about what the impact will be from a touristic point of view. Here we don't have, let's say, the industry like you have it there, but the impact, I believe, will be very, very powerful. And this will also affect our patients and our ability of our patients to maybe pay our services in the future. So I really don't know exactly how things will develop, but I believe that the problem will be very, very complex. Very, very complex.
I agree perfectly.
So it makes a lot of sense to try and to maybe go through it as quickly and as best as possible.
I think that Romania is on the right path for the solution of this crisis. And I'm happy that you took these measures at this moment. I think that this is very good choice, my opinion, my personal opinion for sure.
And you told me that you think that maybe also from your perspective, so we're not experts, so we're not epidemiologists, we're not, so we're talking as two dentists who feel the impact on their work, so definitely people don't need to take our advice as expert advice or anything else. But you told me as well that you believe that maybe closing the borders could also, in this period of crisis, be something that might limit the infection. Because, for example, right now, we had in just 4 days, I believe, we had 50,000 people coming from Italy, from northern Italy, Romania. So, yeah, and this is really... And now we have a lot of people coming, doing the same from Spain. So everybody's saying that, it's my right, it's my country, I can come there. But on the other hand, if you let all these people who, of course, some of them might be infected, I mean...
I don't think that this is an Italian problem or a Spanish problem or a Romanian problem. I think that it is an European problem. So if you want to solve this problem, I think that everyone have to stay in his town, in his country, in this place to wait that this problem pass, and then we can start for better moments. This is my personal feeling.
Yeah, so let me to try to think as Europeans and not try to run away, because I don't think there's any running away. So I don't understand what good would it do to come from Spain to Romania, or to go from Romania to Bulgaria, or from Bulgaria to Greece, because I mean, the problem is going to be more or less the same there. If you go in a country where you have less disease, if that country needs to do something, then you'll need to stay in your home just like you would do where you left off. So.
This is exactly the same that happened here in Italy when we told that in the north of Italy, now you have to stay, you can't move, and people running to take the train to go to the south of Italy. This is exactly the same thing. They have to stay in the place where they are and to contain, to stop this this infection. This is the most important thing that we can do at this moment.
And also try to understand that self-isolation means self-isolation. Yeah, I mean, you don't go for a beer with a friend. Yeah, you're just in the house.
For sure.
Yeah, so this is not like a holiday, because I also see a lot of people like, yeah, we're going to just enjoy some fresh air, maybe go to the lake or self-isolation.
People going running.
Yeah.
I see many people. This is not the moment to go outside running. This is the moment to stay at home.
Exactly.
This is very important to understand, because this is a civic behavior. We have to respect each other. We have to, everyone have to do his part in this moment, difficult moment.
Exactly.
And what we are asked to do is only to stay at home. Yeah, this is the only thing.
With all the comfort that you have, because at home, you have internet, you have movies, it's not like a huge sacrifice that you're doing or anything else.
No. I had the possibility to speak to many, many people that wasn't here for a lot of time, friends, only to ask them, how are you, how is your family. Okay, so it was also good to back in touch with some friend that wasn't here, only to say what's their situation. So we have the many possibilities. We are in contact with the world, if you want, at this moment. We have internet. It's right. I agree with you, Bogdan.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So it's important to understand the self-isolation thing. Well, Francesco, I would just like to thank you a lot for spending some time with me. It was great hearing your voice. It was great talking to you. I'm great to see that even that you have this cough, now you have it, let's say, for more than a week, so it didn't evolve. So I'm really happy that it's just, let's say, not coronavirus related. And I'm really hoping that you'll stay as healthy as well. And thank you very much for sharing with us your experience and, let's say, your advices. And I really hope that people here will listen to them. And, yeah, afterwards, each and everyone can make up their own mind. But it's better to listen to someone who has already passed through such an experience and maybe try to learn from it in order to avoid making the same mistakes again. So, thank you very much. And,
it was a pleasure for me to speak with you. You are a very good friend, so I'm very happy to hear you.
And have a great day. And hopefully okay. We'll hear you soon without the cough, my friend.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Interesant, nu? Sper ca informațiile pe care le-ați primit din partea prietenului meu, Francesco, să vă fie utile. Rumegați-le bine și gândiți-vă foarte serios la ce urmează să faceți în perioada următoare. Nu vă asumați riscuri inutile care s-ar putea să se dovedească a fi decizii catastrofale pentru tot ce înseamnă viitorul vostru imediat. Chiar dacă trecem prin vremuri mai grele, nu aș vrea să încheiem acest episod fără recomandarea de cafea, care astăzi vine tocmai din Amsterdam, din partea celor de la Boca Coffee Roasters. Și vreau să vă vorbesc despre o cafea foarte specială care am gustat-o din partea lor, și anume The Blend. Aceasta practic este o cafea care îmbină 3 soiuri de cafea. Vorbim despre boabe care provin din Brazilia, Columbia și Etiopia. Metoda de procesare de asemenea este foarte interesantă, pentru că anumite boabe sunt procesate natural și altele sunt prin procesare washed. Deci este un mix cât se poate de interesant. Există în interiorul cafelei note foarte subtile de caramel și aș spune că o notă destul de pronunțată de lămâie. E o cafea foarte aromată, bine echilibrată, care merge perfect atât pentru espresso cât și pentru un flat white, de exemplu. Pentru cappuccino aș zice că nu e chiar cea mai recomandată. Însă e cu adevărat o cafea specială. Eu am fost foarte surprins de gust. Îmi pare rău acum că nu am mai multe pungi, am avut o singură pungă care s-a terminat, dar dacă aveți drum prin Amsterdam sau dacă aveți pe cineva care locuiește în Amsterdam și poate să vă ajute, o pungă de la Boca Coffee Roasters din acest The Blend este mai mult decât binevenită. Sigur că ai găsit și pe Facebook la Boca Coffee și de asemenea și pe site-ul lor boca.nl. Găsiți mai multe informații acolo, vă puteți documenta și sigur, încercați-o și spuneți-mi cum vi s-a părut. Cam atât pentru astăzi, până data viitoare nu uitați, tot ce faceți, faceți cu pasiune, dar beți și o cafea bună între timp.